Hello and welcome to the HIMSS AMDIS Physician Community Podcast Series. I'm Dr. Geeta Nair, Chief Medical Information Officer with AT&T. Our guest today is Dr. Daniel Rosenthal, who will be providing his experiences with leveraging healthcare intelligence to improve outcomes. Dr. Rosenthal is an internist and director of healthcare intelligence at Inova Health System. He received a Bachelor of Science from Duke University, a medical degree from the University of South Florida, a Master's in Biomedical Informatics from MIT, and a Master of Public Health degree from Harvard. After an NIH Medical Informatics Fellowship at the Massachusetts General Hospital Laboratory of Computer Science, he completed his clinical training at George Washington University, where he is now a clinical instructor. After residency, Dr. Rosenthal founded a company called Ward Manager, wardmanager.com, a secure online sign-out tool for improving inpatient care transitions. Ward Manager is used by hospitalists, proceduralists, and residents across the United States. Dr. Rosenthal served as Senior Advisor for Health Information Technology at the National Quality Forum, where he was instrumental in developing the Quality Data Model, QDM, with the NQF Health IT Expert Panel, directed the Health IT Structural Measures Endorsement Project, and developed the machinery to produce standardized electronic quality measures to calculate measures directly from EHRs, PHRs, and HIEs. In his current role at Inova, he oversees the Inova Informatics and Intelligence Engine, I3E, is an enterprise-wide data warehouse and analytics system used by 5 Inova hospitals to deliver clinical information to providers at the point of care, model predictive outcomes, calculate quality measures for quality improvement, meaningful use, accountable care organizations, and value-based purchasing and aggregate traditional clinical information with genomic and proteomic data to enable personalized medicine. Danny, welcome.
Thank you, Geeta.
So, Danny, you clearly come with a long line of credentials in the health IT and quality measures field. If you could just tell us briefly what or how would you describe what healthcare intelligence is, that would be terrific.
Sure. Great. Thank you. The way that I think about healthcare intelligence is that this is not really a new topic. This is what we've been doing in medicine since the dawn of time, so to speak. This is often referred to as business intelligence, BI, and this also falls into the realm of enterprise data warehousing and clinical decision support. The reason why I prefer to refer to this sort of field is as healthcare intelligence as opposed to business intelligence, because clearly this is not just business. This is not about dollars and cents. It includes that. It includes cost, obviously, but this is really about healthcare. What can we do to improve the health of our populations, of our patients? And this is not just analytics. Analytics is more of the beam counting. It's more of the scores that come out of measures and metrics. This is really about intelligence. How do we use data effectively? How do we use data intelligently? So I prefer the term healthcare intelligence as opposed to business intelligence or analytics.
Thanks, Danny. So when we talk about healthcare data, why is the analysis of healthcare data so important?
Well, you know, ultimately we have to know what works and what doesn't work. That is inherent to healthcare, and that's, you know, part of our clinical training. We want to know, as the clinicians, patients want to know. I mean, obviously, they're our most important consumer. Payers want to know. If our goal as a system is, in essence, the triple aim, to improve the care experience, the health of populations, and also reducing costs, we need answers to all of these questions. And this is why the healthcare intelligence is so important. And really, you know, everything from, you know, evidence-based medicine to comparative effectiveness to best practices, at the end of the day, it's all about the information that we can collect. The reason why this is really coming to a head now is because we're seeing really a convergence of a lot of external drivers. We've seen an escalating cost of care. We see a need for more transparency. We see a need for more quality metrics and value-based purchasing. And all of that has always been predicated on the availability of information. This is something that we've always been trying to do in healthcare. We need data. We need information to improve the care that we deliver. And if you look at the history of informatics, back in the 60s, really, a lot of the effort has been around artificial intelligence, has been around decision support. And to do really good healthcare intelligence, you need really, really good data. And that has always been a limiting factor. Our data have really been focused on what we have in electronic form, and that's always been claims data from claims and billing. And so now with the real big push of EHRs being implemented, and particularly around meaningful use, now I think we're just going to start to see healthcare intelligence really come to the forefront, because in the past we were limited by not having data, and just going to start seeing, you know, large, large volumes of liquid data, and not just claims and financial data, but we're going to see a ton of clinical data. So we see these sort of two worlds coming together, the typical analytics that have always been done off of claims and the clinical world, which is really where the patients sit. So this is certainly a very exciting time.
Thanks, Danny. I couldn't agree with you more. So when we think about this field, who are really the stakeholders that are asking the questions?
So the stakeholders, clearly, I'll just start off with them, patients, because that is the reason why we're all here. Patients want information. They want to know about their care. They want to know what's most effective for them. They want to know about their doctors, about their nurses, about their healthcare institutions. We as patients want to really have that transparency. Another group, obviously, are the clinicians. Clinicians want to have the most useful data at their fingertips. And, you know, from a clinical perspective, when we talk about healthcare intelligence or analytics, I think that there's in some ways confusion or a haze that this really has to do with technology and computers are annoying and they sort of get in our way and slow us down. But if we sort of take a step back, as clinicians, we live and breathe by data, either from the data that we receive from our patients, much of which is qualitative, some of which is quantitative, and by the data that we receive from healthcare research and from the journals that we read. So as clinicians, we really want to have our hands on the most recent information, and not just raw data, but we want to know what are the trends in the populations that we're treating, what is working and what is not working. Clearly, another group, folks asking questions, are the providers and the payers. So breaking down into patients, clinicians, providers, and payers, those are the real folks who are asking the questions. And, you know, aside from just those particular groups, I think that you can see how there are different domains people asking questions. And in the past, I think that these sort of domains of quality, research, operations, and clinical had sort of always fallen into separate categories. You're either a quality person, or you're a health services research, or a operations person, or you're a doc in the trenches, and you're saying, listen, just give me data. Let me see what's going on with my individual patient. But now that data is becoming really so liquid, Geetha, and is really moving across the entire spectrum, I think that these individual stakeholders, quality, research operations, and the clinical, are starting to blend together. And, you know, we're all asking very, very similar questions about our patient populations.
Thanks, Danny. I think you covered the stakeholders really well. What kinds of questions are each of these stakeholders asking from their different perspectives?
I mean, the sky is really the limit here, Geetha, on what kind of questions we can ask. One of the things that I'm really excited about are the aspects of predictive modeling. To an informatician, this is fairly vanilla. How do we use existing data to predict outcomes? To the average physician, it may sound a little bit hokey, a little bit complex. However, there's no difference from predictive modeling than what we've always been asked, the basic questions in clinical and health services research. As a clinician, we want to know, what are the determinants of the outcomes for disease X? What are the determinants of the outcomes for procedure Y? You know, those are the predictors, and regression models are just only one type of a predictive model. But in essence, what we're trying to do is say, listen, give us a bunch of data, and then from these data, what are the trends that we're seeing? What are the predictors of the outcomes? And in the past, we've always used regression models because those are things that, as docs, we can sort of relate to. Take the weight, multiply it by 2, sprinkle in a little LDL, sprinkle in some other risk factors, and there's your 10-year risk of, you know, X event happening. Now that we have so much data, we have a lot of other techniques at our fingertips and a lot of techniques to build models and discover trends in data that we haven't really been able to do in the past. In addition to that, healthcare stakeholders are asking, you know, clearly quality falls in this. And whenever I mention quality to any of my clinical colleagues, they always roll their eyes, and the sort of notion is, you know, I don't want to be measured, I don't want to be judged, I know what I'm doing. And I think that this sort of adversarial positioning on quality is natural. And I think the reason why it exists is a lot of the quality metrics that we have to date are sort of very, very blunt instruments. And we wouldn't want to measure our patient's blood pressure with the inaccurate size blood pressure cuff, you know, or we wouldn't want to have laboratory tests with a 50% margin of error. So I think similarly that some of the pushback around quality measurement has really been on the blunt measures. The bad news is that those quality measures have always been based off of claims data. The good news is that hopefully we're going to start seeing quality metrics that are based off of the clinical data. And the same questions that we are trying to answer clinically when the patient is sitting right in front of us are the same types of questions that quality measures will be structured around. So I think in the next coming years, we're going to see an improvement in the specificity, in the granularity, and in the applicability of quality measures. So quality measures are some of the questions that we're asking. From a research perspective, this is actually very, very exciting because in the past, clinical research, oftentimes if you wanted to get very, very high quality answers, you were sort of limited to blinded trials. I think now that a lot of the burden of data collection that you saw in research in the past, that the burden of data collection is going away a lot now that we have a lot more liquid data. Obviously, that introduces a lot more problems. Are the data accurate? How do you adjust for all the confounders? And from a research perspective, I think to answer a lot more questions now that we're going to have a lot more clinical data available. From an operations perspective, we want to know what's working for our patients. And I know that cost is a bad word, but looking at healthcare from a utilitarian perspective, how can we deliver the best care really at the lowest cost so that we can have a sustainable healthcare system? So from an operations perspective, we can look at outcomes and start finding out what types of treatments are effective and most affordable. And then obviously, not to leave out as clinicians and what we do on a day-to-day basis, the questions that we're asking is, I've got a patient sitting in front of me right now. Can you please help me do my job better? Now, I'm not asking you to replicate the clinical thought because there are far more variables in clinical thought than can ever be modeled effectively in predictive modeling. But this is, can you put the information at my fingertips? Can you help me look at this patient sitting right in front of me? Can you help me look at my population and give me some feedback on how I'm doing with my population? So in summary, for the types of questions that we're asking you, that hopefully these worlds of quality metrics, operations, clinical research, which often takes a number of years to translate to the bedside, and the typical alerts and reminders that are often distracting during clinical care, hopefully these questions and these domains are going to blend together as we start answering questions together as a healthcare community.
Thanks, Danny. You know, you have a really, I think, comprehensive background with your informatics background, your public health background, your clinical background. Would really love to just know what your thoughts are on the future of healthcare information and what you think that the future of health IT really looks like.
Either right now, EHRs, I think, are clearly the focus, getting your EHR stood up and operational, and rightly so, with meaningful use. But I think that the healthcare industry is positioning itself for when the dust settles. So the technology will become increasingly more of a commodity followed by the liquidity of data and information. And then, you know, come 2014, we'll be saying here, listen, we've all got EHRs, great. We're getting reams of data. But the real question is, okay, well, now what? What are we going to actually do with the information? So we have only begun to scratch the surface of how we can use genomic information combined with the phenotypic or clinical information that we traditionally capture in our EHRs to really personalize medicine and to try to predict outcomes or to identify associations between the genomics and the clinical outcomes. So in addition to just having clinical information coming down the pike with EHRs, if you include it in there, genomics and proteomics, I think that the future of healthcare information and the future of healthcare intelligence is going to be quite remarkable. I mean, this is certainly an exciting time to be in the informatics space. So in addition to thinking about what the future of healthcare information will be, I mean, clearly we're going to have much more data, hopefully richer data, hopefully more accurate data. But I think that it's the future, at least the near future, is really going to be not necessarily the information, but how we're utilizing the information. And it may sound a little bit naive and optimistic, but you know, when you think about the Amazon making recommendations of books based on your previous purchases or the Netflix people like you have also liked these movies, something very, very similar to that in the healthcare space. Now, this is not necessarily a new idea. In fact, there have been lots of examples of where this has actually worked. But I think in the past, they've been limited by the crude data that we have had available. So I think that the you know, healthcare in and of itself is probabilistic. We're looking at a patient sitting in front of us, and we're going through the probabilities in our mind. I've seen X number of patients with these constellation of symptoms. I've treated them with Y, and they have gotten better, you know, Z percentage of time. So extrapolating that probabilistic clinical thought process and applying to it reams of data across populations and across time, you'll see that network effect. And I think that we're going to have the future use of these data and of these analytics will be to help us look at our entire population, learn from it quickly, and get the value to our next patient with a similar history all the more rapidly.
Thank you, Danny. I want to thank Dr. Daniel Rosenthal for joining us today to share his insight on physician healthcare intelligence. To our audience, thank you for joining us for the HIMSS AMDIS Physician Community Podcast Series. This is Dr. Geeta Nair reporting.